Morning. The first thing I'd like to do is to thank each and every one of you for the warm Christian love and welcoming you've shown my wife and I over the past month or so. We really appreciate it. This is a great church, and we feel comfortable here. And we just thank you so much for all you've done for us, for the prayers and everything. Does anybody here know of Mordecai Ham? Does anybody know who he was? Maybe a few of you do. Well, Mordecai Ham was a great evangelist, kind of the tent meeting type evangelist back at the turn of the last century. We're talking back in the 1900s. And he used to go all over the country holding tent revivals and preaching. And some people say as many as 300,000 people came to believe in Jesus Christ through his ministry. And at one of these events, he was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was preaching. And a young 16-year-old man accepted Jesus Christ that day. And that man's name was Billy Graham. And then we see what that impacted later on with Billy Graham becoming one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever known. And that just shows how sharing the gospel, how presenting the gospel to other people, you never know what God's plan is going to be. God doesn't expect each and every one of us to be a Billy Graham or a Mordecai Ham, but he does expect us to be able to go out and share his gospel message. The great commandment, you know, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And through that is sharing with other people. Using that love of God to go out and using that motivation to share with other people so they too can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have that same love for God. Jesus said that we should go out, we should go and spread the gospel to all nations, to make disciples of all peoples, and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today, with this sermon, I'm hoping to kind of motivate you a little bit to get out there, to share the gospel with people, to show you kind of what it takes. God's already blessed each and every Christian through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. But some of us just sometimes need a little prodding to get out there and actually do it. Okay, the background to this passage this morning is the first few chapters of the book of Acts. And we see that a lot of people have come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in the first four chapters of the book of Acts. First, we had the 12 disciples, and then when Jesus ascends into heaven, we have 120 disciples after that, and then Peter preaches his great sermon, and 3,000 people accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then a little bit after that, Peter's second sermon, and 5,000 people come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But up to that point, the gospel had kind of been stuck right there in Jerusalem. The big church was being created in Jerusalem, but it was kind of stuck there. And Jesus, as he was ascending into heaven, he had told the disciples who were there that he wanted them to go out and spread the gospel, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, in Samaria, into the remotest parts of the world. But they really weren't getting out there and doing it. They weren't that motivated. They were kind of happy in their church there in Jerusalem. You know, they were getting big. They had a lot of stuff to do. Their ministry was right there. They even had to elect some deacons to help carry out the ministry. And one of those was a person who was filled with the Holy Spirit named Philip, who later becomes Philip the Evangelist. And he's one of the main characters in the text that I'm going to be going through today. So we see that God's sovereignty in this text. Ben's been preaching lately about how we see God's sovereignty and his action leading to salvation throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. We see that here also in that we see that Stephen was stoned to death in the very first part of Acts, and that drove a lot of Christians out of Jerusalem because of the persecution. And we see that Saul, who becomes Paul, is arresting Christians, throwing them in prison, persecuting Christians. And so Philip had gone to Samaria and was preaching the gospel there. Lots of people were coming to believe in Jesus Christ through his ministry. So then Peter and John show up to confirm these new believers, and they confront this magician named Simon who wants to buy his salvation, basically. And they rebuke him and send him off. And then we get to our text today, which is Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to read verses 25 through 40. I'll read the whole thing. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation, for his life is removed from the earth?" The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he was baptized. If there's three big points I'd like for you to understand out of this text today, is what I call the prompting of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel, the preparation through the Holy Spirit to share the gospel, and the actual presentation of sharing the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, we see that an angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, "I need you to go out into the middle of nowhere to a road out in the middle of the desert." And Philip didn't question. It just says he got up and went. He didn't argue, said, "Well, I've got a great ministry right here going on in Samaria. Lots of people are coming to salvation. I got a lot of work to do here." He didn't do that. He just said, "Okay," got up and went. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes we get tied down in our churches, in our own lives, and we don't go out and obey the prompting of God to go out and share the gospel message, whether it be with other family members, people at work, friends, neighbors. We just kind of get in our comfort zone. We don't want to leave that and go out. Philip didn't feel that way. He didn't worry about what was going to happen. He just went because he knew that's what God wanted him to do. In verse 29, we see that as he gets there, he sees the chariot with the Ethiopian going by, and the Spirit prompts him once again. Another prompting says, "Go up to that chariot." And he didn't just say, "Oh, well, should I do this? You know, is this really what God wants me to do?" No, it says he ran up. He understood God's prompting in his life. He was open to it. He was willing to it. He wanted to do God's will. And so he rushed to this chariot to see who was in it and to do God's bidding and will. He didn't worry about who the man was. He didn't know that this was a very, very high important government official in the Ethiopian kingdom. He didn't know that this guy handled all the wealth and riches for a queen, that he was wealthy enough to travel back and forth to Jerusalem to worship. He didn't worry about who this man was. He just went up and obeyed God and did what he was supposed to do. As Christians, we need to follow Philip's example here. We need to obey God's prompting in our lives, whatever it might be. If we feel God wanting us to share the gospel with someone, we need to go out and do that. You know, if you ignore it, God's never going to use you. And you never know who you might witness to one day who might accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Not right then, but after that seed you planted, God grows it and ripens it. And God calls that person. That person becomes a Christian, may become the next Mordecai Ham or the next Billy Graham. God will prompt us to when and to who we should share the gospel with. But we have to be prepared to share that gospel also. God can use us with what we have. God has blessed us as Christians with the Holy Spirit. It's already indwells within us. He can use us wherever we are in our Christian walk. God can use us already to share the gospel. But the more prepared you are, the more God can use you. First, we need to be spiritually prepared. That means we have to live a life of what Paul called the Christian walk. We can't be constantly sinning in our daily lives and not repenting of it and praying over it and asking God for forgiveness and still having God use us. We have to have that spiritual connection with God. We have to be reading our Bible daily. We have to be praying daily. We have to be worshiping God. We have to get that connection with God so we can hear Him when He's prompting us and we understand what it is He wants us to do. We have to develop that strong personal relationship to be spiritually prepared. I'm kind of talking about myself here some too. We can't let our daily lives affect our relationship with God. We have to put God above everything else, above work, above school, above relaxation, above watching TV. That's one thing I'm kind of guilty of. You know, sometimes I get stuck on the TV flipping between the History Channel and, you know, all these other things. It's okay to do that a little bit, but God still has to be the priority in our lives. Our spiritual growth has to be the priority in our lives. Secondly, not only do you have to be spiritually prepared, you have to be emotionally prepared to go out and share the gospel. When God prompts it, a lot of people there, they hesitate because they're scared. Because, you know, it's hard for people just to walk up to somebody and share the gospel. It really is. But you have to understand that you can do it. With the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can do anything. Believe me, I am scared to death to get up in front of people and talk. It's one of the world's greatest fears, and it's mine too. The only way I can get up here and preach is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He drives me to want to share things with other people. To share what God has taught me through my Bible study, through my prayer time, through my worship, and to share especially the gospel message with other people. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal of our salvation, so we know that we're saved and that we can share the gospel with other people. And I said earlier, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as Jesus was ascending, He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the world. That's the power we have. That's how we can be emotionally prepared, is by knowing that we have God behind us. When we go into a situation where we're going to share the gospel with somebody, we have the power of Almighty God to help us. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We rely on God to do it. And you do have to have an understanding of what it means to be rejected. Because Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Our reward isn't here. We shouldn't care what people think about us as Christians. Everybody worries how people think about them, but that shouldn't be our main concern. Our main concern should be our home in heaven and helping other people to come to that same understanding and knowing that their home, their eternal salvation is in heaven, not here on earth, not in other people's eyes, but in God's eyes. And lastly, I kind of beg you, don't be ashamed of sharing the gospel. Some people are afraid. Some people may even be ashamed of sharing the gospel. They're afraid people will belittle them, that people make fun of them, that kind of thing. But we just heard in the passage that was read earlier in chapter Mark, verse 8, that Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me or my word, then when I come before my Father God, I will be ashamed of them. He says in Luke 9, 26, basically the same thing. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, Jesus said, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So it's our responsibility. It's Jesus' command, God's command, that we go out and share the gospel, being spiritually prepared, being emotionally prepared, and also intellectually prepared. Yes, God can use us where we're at, but He can use us more as we learn more, as we become more closer to God in our relationship. Not easy. It takes time. It takes work. It takes a little effort. We shouldn't just read the Bible, which is always a good thing. We should study the Bible. We could learn how certain passages can help us to present the gospel by memorizing certain scriptures. You know, we should pray for the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us to an understanding of the scripture and what God wants us to do. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the more you study, the more you learn the Bible, the closer you get in your relationship with God, the deeper the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in you. When the time comes for you to present the gospel, the Holy Spirit will be there to help bring back those things you need to say. When you meet someone, the Holy Spirit will tell you where that person is in their walk of accepting Jesus Christ, where they are. You know, tell you whether you need to start with, you know, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth, or whether, you know, you skip right ahead and just say, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, there's a vast range of where people are, what messages they've heard. If you're in North Korea, You know, the majority of people in North Korea have never heard of Jesus Christ, let alone heard the gospel. And so you need to know where people are, and the Holy Spirit will guide you and let you know how to present the gospel to them, to find out where they are, and how to go from there. Philip was prepared. You know, he was spiritually prepared, he was emotionally prepared, and he was intellectually prepared. And when he came, when the Holy Spirit told him to go to the chariot, and when he went up there, he heard the Ethiopian reading from the Old Testament, reading Isaiah 53. And the Ethiopian said, well, can you explain to me what I'm reading here? And so, since he was prepared, Philip was able to take that passage and relate it even to like the text we read earlier today in Mark chapter 8, say that, yes, Jesus had to suffer. Jesus was the suffering servant. He had to suffer. He had to die so that we could be saved. So he was able to explain that, to take the Ethiopian from where he was and present the gospel and help lead him to Jesus Christ. Like Philip, we have to use everything we've learned through our Bible study, through prayer, through worship, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and go out and share the gospel. Some people say, what is the gospel? Well, you know, we've had the prompting. You know, God tells us who to share it with. We're prepared. And now, how do we present the gospel? What is this gospel presentation? And it can vary. It varies from person to person, depending on God and how God has worked in that person's life. Jesus tells us the fields are ripe for harvest, but there are few workers to go out and actually reap. And that's why he wants each and every one of us to do it. What is the gospel message? Well, there are lots of great tools out there to help. There's, like the Bill Bright Campus Crusades, Four Spiritual Laws, little pamphlets. You can go through those. There's the Roman Road, you know, where you take verses from the book of Romans and help use that to guide you, to help you lead people to Christ. There's Vacation Bible Schools, the ABCs of salvation. Every year we go through the ABCs. All those are great tools. Paul tells us that the gospel message is a story of the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a lot that the gospel includes. But basically what we need to be able to do is to tell people that God loves them. God loves all of us. God loves you. God loves me. And he wants to have a relationship with him because he created us for that. He created us so that we could walk with him and talk with him like Adam and Eve did in the garden before sin entered into the equation. And sin created this great gulf between us and God, this barrier that we can't get across. The sin in our life, the rebellion, prevents us from having that relationship with God. But God loved us so much, he said, I am going to die in your place. The sin that came into our lives also created death. Not only do we physically die, but we spiritually die. That we are separated from God for an eternity because of that sin. And God says, I love you so much. No matter how bad you think you are, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how bad, how unforgiving you think you are, I love you enough and I forgive you. And he said, all I want you to do is to believe that I died for you, because God came and dwelt among us. He became one of us. He became a man, Jesus Christ. Fully man, fully God. He came to die just for our sins so that we can live. God's judgment for our sin is death, eternal death. But out of his love, he chose instead to die for us, saying only that we have to believe in him to do that. And we see in this account, as Philip presented the gospel to the Ethiopian, whether it was through his personal testimony, whether he used scripture, whether he told some of the things he may have actually seen Jesus do and teach, the Ethiopian made the decision. He said, as they were traveling along, he said, what prevents me from getting baptized right now? Because he heard the gospel and he accepted it, because Philip was there, ready, prepared. He answered the prompting and he presented the gospel. So the eunuch was ready to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In verse 37, it says that Philip said, the only thing that is required is that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Now, if you're looking at any of the Pew Bibles, you may not see verse 37 there. It'll skip right from 36 to 38 in the NIV Bible and some other Bibles. You know, there's a lot of discussion over whether verse 37 was in the original, the very oldest copies of manuscripts that we have. So it's something that has to be talked about. You know, there are discussions of who took it out, who put it in. But that really doesn't matter, because the important thing is that the rest of the New Testament, even what Jesus says, is that you have to believe to be saved. The baptism itself is not what saves you. It's your belief in Jesus Christ that saves you. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." So it's not the baptism itself that saves you. It's the belief. And that's the reason why some people may think that verse 37 was inserted later. And throughout history, we've always expressed the Christian belief that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He died and was resurrected on the third day, then you'll be saved. And so that's the bottom line of the gospel. God loves you. God wants you to have eternal life. God wants you to have a relationship with Him. But you can only do that through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This morning, you've heard the gospel message that the Ethiopian heard. 2,000 years ago, the Ethiopian said he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord, as his Savior. You can do that this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus before, you can make that public confession this morning, or you can make it any time. Altar calls have become kind of a thing of the past. But anytime you feel God working in you, that God is calling you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, that you can do that. You can come today as we sing this final song. You can come up and talk to me. You can talk to the Pastor Kim. You can talk to Pastor Dockery later. Anyone here that's a Christian, ask him, say, "I want to be saved. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." And if you do that, you can participate in the baptismal service. Ben told me that you're going to be holding a baptismal service in a couple weeks. And so you can be like the Ethiopian and say, "What is preventing me from being baptized?" Nothing. Just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be baptized. Don't be baptized for your salvation, but be baptized in obedience to Jesus' command. Be baptized to make that public confession, to come before this congregation and say, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior." That's the reason why we're baptized. So this morning, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, please take this time and do it. If you are a Christian, please take this time this morning to pray for God's prompting in your life, for the Holy Spirit to prepare you and to help you in your presentation of the gospel message. If you would, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this time that we can come together to worship you, to hear your word. Father, I just pray for this congregation that it will continue to grow and to be obedient to your commands, that God, you will use this congregation to reach out to this neighborhood, to Louisville, to Kentucky, and to the ends of the world, God, to share your gospel message. I pray that if anyone here has never accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and their Savior, that God, you will work in their lives, that you will draw them towards you, and that God, you will help them to develop that relationship with you, to accept Jesus.